Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message, folks, is out of Mark, and it's Mark 14:72. Mark chapter 14, verse 72 will be our mainstay. But I'm going to read some other verses out of Mark, so we're staying with Mark today, folks. We won't have to flip further than Mark chapter 14. So if you'll go find your place there, I'll get ready to give you the prayers. And I have a song I want to play while we're waiting. It's called I Love to Tell the Story. It's a worship song. Hope you like it, folks. We'll be back in a little bit to do the prayer request. Yeah, we love to tell the story, folks. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love telling the story about Jesus. I love to talk about those that were his disciples. I enjoy hearing the others tell the stories, and I love to listen to the history going all the way back to when Jesus first became, and even prior to that, when God was so great to help those get through those seas when he parted them, and then when he closed them up on the enemy, Pharaoh's people. Folks, this morning's message, I'm telling you a story about Peter, and I want you to understand, folks, that Peter wasn't just an ordinary guy. At one point, God decided that he was going to straighten Peter out with a little bit, where Peter had denied him. He had denied Christ, and that's what chapter 14 is about. So I'm going to, before I go there, I want to do the prayers, but I want you to understand something, folks. We are a denying people. Many a times in our life, we would rather live in our sin than to accept Jesus Christ and know that we're not supposed to sin. But our prayers this morning, folks, I have plenty of them. I was away for a week. I want to say thank you all for praying for us, for my wife and I, as we went off up to Fort Kent, which is about 6.5 hours from here, and then another hour and some time going over across the border to Canada. Every single day. Once we were in Fort Kent, we spent every day back and forth across that border, folks. And believe me when I tell you, I've had problems going across the border, and I've had problems coming back from over in Canada on this side, where they pull us under the awning and have to search the vehicle, and they check our ID, and they hold us up for 45 minutes or whatever it is it takes them to do their part. Now, I know it's their job, folks, but it's just, it's a pain, and it's stressful and aggravating, and we had enough to contend with this past week that we didn't need that added to the mix. But, you know, God was so good over all the prayers that were answered, and when I asked for prayers, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ came out, my family and loved ones came out and prayed, and you know, I got to tell you folks, this is my testimony this morning, God was in it from the beginning we left the house to the time we got there. We had issues before we left, we couldn't take the car, we had to take the truck, and it worked out great that we did. We needed it when we got there. We had to clean out Mom's apartment, get her situated into a new home. And that's another prayer request I have. Please pray for my mother-in-law that she would be able to be receptive to what's going on around her. She has dementia, and it causes a lot of issues with her, and she gets angry and frustrated. And the staff there was wonderful in the new home. I know they're able to help her. They said give her 1 month, and things will, she'll be much better. She'll have adjusted. And we're leaving it in their hands. We're leaving it in God's hands to take care of her. Thank you for letting me share that with you folks. All that is done. Everything that happened up there worked out well. Another time, another story. But we didn't have to worry about what we were getting rid of. The landlord was good enough to clean out the apartment for us. He took care of whatever we didn't want, and he even paid us for it. So we can't feel bad about that at all. We gave stuff to some of the neighbors, people that were in need. It worked out great. They were very thankful and grateful for what they got, and we were grateful for being able to help them out. So this morning, our prayers for those around us and those we love, my cousin's son, Michael Wagner, for God's healing. He had an MRI done a while ago, week before last, and we prayed about that last week, but please pray that God will continue to work in Michael's life. Michael gave a little bit of a testimony last night on the internet and said that God has been there for him many a times, and he has pulled him from the miry pit and healed him and helped him many a times in the past. And Michael feels that God's with him right now and will continue to do that. But please pray for Michael that he continues to have that strength and guidance, because we all know that it gets very depressing when we get ill and we start to lose faith and we start to fall and we start to forget. But Michael isn't doing that today. For Mark Warren, for his health issues, Mark's had some struggles the last year. He wasn't able to eat. Now he's able to eat. His girlfriend was telling me that she's been giving him herbs, and he's been feeling better, and he's getting a little more strength. He wants to be able to go to the VA, but the VA is not willing to help him out, said that he's too far gone. But they know that that's not true. And once this kicks in where the president has passed this new law, that they'll be able to go to see other doctors. My friend Mark will be able to get the help he needs. Sylvia Caffrey is asking for prayers for Joe for an interview that he's got on a job coming up, Joe would be able to find a job. So please help that to happen. Pray for my son-in-law that he get a call back for work. My son Johnny Estrada, he's been looking for work for a while. Please help him find a job. He's got a couple of girls. He's got three little girls and his wife to feed besides himself to take care of and be able to pay his ways. Pray for my granddaughter Jalexis Estrada to get a high score on her test results. She's been taking some classes over the summer that she chose to take. She was when I was there visiting a week or so ago there. Actually, it was just about a week ago now. She was reading Latin to me. A little girl, and she ain't that old. She's a little girl. She was reading me Latin. I'm so shocked that she was able to do that on her own. Pray for my daughter, Rebecca, for strength for dealing with witnessing to the lost. She's got some friends, Jose Martinez, Ricardo Rivera, Mickey Arroyo, Melinda Meeker. These are all people that need salvation, folks. So please pray for them. Pray for their spiritual guidance as well. Pray for my friend Kimberly Ann. Ann Kimberly is how she goes by on the internet. Kimberly Ann's asking for prayers for her and her family. For Crosswalk. Crosswalk does a lot of work up here where I am in the pantries, trying to help the people to have food in their house. There's a lot of mission work coming up for Crosswalk, and they need all the prayers they can get to continue to do that. Pray for Rita Thrasher. She went through a stroke not long ago, so please pray for her. Sandy Washer had a lot of prayers a while back. She didn't get back to me, but I know Sandy's a great
witness. She loves to talk about Jesus, and she's always doing things for people. Please pray for Sandy for strength and ability to continue to do as she does. There's others out there, folks, I know that need prayers. So please, if you have any, send them in to William Preacher Bill Barnes on Facebook, and I'll be sure to make sure we get to pray for you. This morning's message, folks, we're going to go right into it. It comes from a reading that I read in the beginning of the week sometime, a Bible passage that I always post, or I post every day from the Spurgeons, and this is where it comes from. And it says this, the title was, "And When He Thought Thereon, He Wept." And that comes right out of Matthew 14:72. And I'll read that to you, folks, because it's important that you see that. In Matthew 14:72, it says this, "And the second time the cock crew," which meant that the cock crowed, "and Peter called to mind," he remembered, "the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times." It says thrice. Now, before that rooster crowed twice, Peter remembered that he denied Christ, that he would deny him. And when he thought thereon, what? He wept. And we should be doing the same, folks. We should do the same when we remember our sins. We should be so sorrowful that we weep and we cry over all that we've done wrong against the Lord. Father, we thank you for allowing us to have this opportunity to share the gospel with those that would be willing to come out and listen. And we hope that it touches their hearts and that it would heal some and that would make them realize that even though their sins are nothing but filthy rags and their whole life is useless and worthless, Jesus makes us worth everything. He provides us like the finest of gold that went through the fire and came out with no impurities whatsoever. It's only because of what Jesus Christ has done. Thank you for being here. Please, I hope that you'll pick your Bible up, you'll read it, you'll follow along in Scripture. And if you don't, at least write these Scriptures down so that you can do it at a later time. Don't take my word for it, folks. Let the Holy Spirit work in your soul. Let Him touch you and guide you and strengthen you and build you up the way God wants. Don't follow after any man that's in a pulpit. Don't let the man in the pulpit be that idol of yours. Although I appreciate the love and the gratitude for being able to share the gospel, I've got people that would come out and listen to me, but they won't pick up their Bible and read it. And that's not what God intended for us, folks. We should be in the Word every day. That's how we get to be built up in strength and how we become a better Christian and how we can learn to not deny Christ. Now, I'm going to give you some other scriptures here, folks. As I read through my message from what I read, it said this in that Daily Spurgeon. "A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept." It has been thought by some that as long as Peter lived, excuse me, folks, as long as Peter had been living, or had been alive and lived, the fountain of his tears began to flow whenever he remembered his denying his Lord. You know, when we sin, that's denying Christ. Believe it or not, when you tell a lie, when you do something you shouldn't be doing, when you do anything that's not right or righteous or not the will of God, when you serve yourself, you're sinning. You have to understand that, folks. If you're a Christian and you've read it in the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you that have not read your Bible may not quite understand. But believe me when I tell you, Peter would weep every time he remembered a sin in his life. That's what it says. The same experience is common to all the redeemed family according to the degree in which the Spirit of God has removed the natural heart of stone. You see, we have a heart of stone. We want to sin. It's natural for a natural man of the flesh to want to sin. It's not natural for the flesh to want to do what Christ wants us to do. And it says here, we, like Peter, remember our boastful promise. We're just like this. Though all men shall forsake thee, yet will not I. And this is what we say, right? No matter what we do, we're going to serve Christ. We're going to do what God asks us to do. It doesn't matter. And then we sin. And that's where we deny Christ. Okay? It says here, though all men shall forsake thee, yet will not I. We eat our own words with the bitter herbs of repentance. Don't we always do that? Don't we always feel bad when we sin? And if we don't, we ought to be. Because just because we're saved does not mean that we should get away with sinning. Christ doesn't want us to sin. He wants us to do the right thing. When we think of what we vowed, we would be. Now you think about that. I'm going to be a Christian. I've got saved. I want to do the right thing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm never going to turn my back on Christ again. I'm going to do the right thing, we say. And then we do something that we know is a sin. So we may weep whole showers of grief when we think of what we vowed we would be. That's what we should be doing. Are we weeping those showers of grief? He thought on his denying his Lord. This was Peter. He said, I couldn't believe that I denied him. The place in which he did it, he remembered right exactly where he was the moment Christ told him that. He remembered where he was in the sin when he did it. The little cause which led him into such heinous sin, those little things that lead us away, that cause us to sin, the oaths and blasphemies with which he sought to confirm his falsehood, and the dreadful hardness of heart which drove him to do so again and yet again. How many times have we said we won't do something, and we do it again, and then we do it again, and then we do it again? And you know something? Christ is so merciful that he forgives us. But should we just keep going? No, the Bible says, God forbid, we shouldn't be sinning. But we shouldn't use our Christianity for a cloak either, folks. And Peter didn't. Peter knew he made mistakes, just like we know we make mistakes. And when we sin, we should be faithful and just to turn to God and say, listen, please forgive me, Lord. I don't mean to do these things. I know I make mistakes. I've done things. I've even cussed out loud sometimes when I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be using foul language when I'm upset and then expect God to forgive it every time it happens. But he does forgive me every time it happens. He knows I'm a foolish man in the flesh. Can we, when we are reminded of our sins and their exceeding sinfulness, Can we, when we are reminded of our sins and their exceeding sinfulness, remain emotionless and stubborn? Is that what happens to us? Does it not bother us when we sin? Do we think it's okay? Is it all right? Do we feel good with that? We will not make our houses, or will we not make our houses, it says a bochum in this word, and that's a weeping home. Will we not make our home a weeping home where we cry about our sins, where we will pray for our sins? Or are we going to continue to live in our sins and expect God to always be there? Just like, oh, well, it's okay, this is who I am, and God loves me and he forgives me so I can continue to be who I am. Or will you feel sorrowful because you're a pitiful person who sins any thought for what God asks? There is absolutely no reason whatsoever we should be sinning in our life, folks. When we do, we should be able to get on our knees and ask for forgiveness and pray and have tears in our eyes that we are wrong, that we've done something wrong against Jesus. Every time we sin, it's another stripe on the Lord's back where we've taken a razor and cut through his skin deep to the bone. Are we going to cry unto the Lord for renewed assurances of our pardoning love? May we never take a dry-eyed look at sin, lest ere long we have a tongue parched in the flames of hell. Peter also thought upon his master's look of love. The Lord followed up the cock's warning voice. When the Lord let the rooster crow, he looked an admonitory look of sorrow and pity and love. That glance was never out of Peter's mind so long as he lived. When Peter looked at Christ and the cock crowed, and Jesus looked at Peter with such love, and he said, I told you would deny me. And he also looked at him with the same look, with sorrow and pity for Peter, just like he looks at us. That glance was never out of Peter's mind. Imagine going through your whole life looking at that vision of what we did to Christ. It was far more effectual than 10,000 sermons They couldn't have been more. Without the Spirit of Christ, without Jesus Christ, Peter wouldn't have known that pity or that love. But he forgave him. He forgave Peter for that. And Peter forever lived with that thought that, look what I just did to my Lord. When they said to Peter, and this is going through the verses, and I'll go through them as long as I have the time, the penitent apostle would be sure to weep when he recollected the Savior's forgiveness, which restored him to his former place. To think that we have offended so kind and good a Lord is more than sufficient reason for being constant weepers. Lord, smite our rocky hearts. Destroy that rock that we have. Give us a compassionate spirit. Help us to love the way Jesus loved. Help us to be forgiven as Jesus did. So many times we forget what it means that we deny Christ and we go on about our life doing things we shouldn't. And then make the waters flow of our tears, that we should be sorrowful for all of our wrongs. Mark 14, 18 and 21, check this out. I'm going to go on, folks. When Jesus was about to break bread, he mentions the betrayal to come. Become one of the disciples of the 12 would betray him. Verse 18. That is a man that is a follower. Judas Iscariot, in verse 18 and in verse 21, the Lord at the end of the verse says, it would be better that he should never have been born, because he not only denied Christ, he turned Jesus over to those that would kill him. He was talking about Judas Iscariot because he became a traitor, because he went against Jesus Christ. It would be better that he would not be born if he was going to deny me. And in verse 27, it says this, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. You know, we all of us as Christians have denied Christ at some point in our life through our sin. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Jesus was telling the people they would be offended because he didn't save himself. The people were like, why couldn't he save himself? And the people sat back while they were doing all this to Jesus, and they didn't say, we're followers of his, and don't do that to my Lord and Savior. It's how we should be handling sin in our lives when we see people sinning. Don't do that. It's wrong. Don't act like that. It's against Christ. We should be standing against sin. And when we don't do that, we deny Christ. When we sit by like those that watched Jesus be hung on the cross and didn't say, I'm a follower of his, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to do as Jesus asked me to do. I'm going to stand up for Christ. I'm going to wake up, speak up, and stand up. I'm going to do what he says. I'm not going to lay down and let this world walk all over me. I am a Christian. I love the Lord. And if you hang me on a cross, so be it. But you'll be hanging a lot of others with me. It's a shame. Even with all his power as the Son of God, he didn't stop the crowds from crucifying him. Peter said he would not be offended, it says in verse 29. In verse 30, Jesus says, before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me three times. In verse 66 through 72, Peter does exactly as the Lord predicted, denied the Lord three times. Peter was offended and did not stand up for Christ. And he was a follower of a Christian, as a Christ, rather. He followed Christ. Now listen here. I'm going to go through this real quick because of time. But we're going to go down through 66 to 72. And as Peter was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But Peter denied it, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. You see, at that moment, Peter knew he was guilty. Just like we know when we commit our sins, we know we are guilty. we're Christians. We're not supposed to sin, even though we do. Now, Peter was being accused of being a Christian, and he denied it. In verse 69, and a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them. This is a Christian." We should be proud to have that title, and many of us don't. Verse 70, and he denied it again, and a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereunto," or thereto. Another, you talk like a Christian, you act like a Christian, you walk like a Christian, you must be a Christian. And some would say, "Oh, I am but." We shouldn't have the button there. We are a Christian. Yes, I make mistakes in life, but I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus Christ. That's what we should be saying. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine someone calling you a Christian and you just saying flat out, "I'm not a Christian. I'm not going there. Don't take me. I don't want to be part of that. All you're going to do is kill me. I'm not a Christian," and you try to survive. Instead of going and being slaughtered like a Christian because you are a Christian. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, you shall deny me three times." And when he thought thereon, he wept. You know why he wept? Because Jesus prophesied that it would happen, and it did. And he knew it was going to happen, and he knew it would be Peter that denied him. And you know what? Peter cried because he loved the Lord, and he was ashamed. He was ashamed of what he did, and he was sorrowful, and he wept for the rest of his life because he didn't know, just like we don't know. If we stand up for Christ, what can come of our life? When we deny Christ, we lose all our connection to the Lord. For that moment in time, we lose it all. We don't lose our salvation. We'll never lose our salvation, folks. But I'm telling you, God knows we're going to deny him. God knows when we're going to refuse to stand for him. He knows when we're not going to stand up and be a good Christian and say, "You know what? I'm a Christian. I don't care. If you don't like it, kill me." But that's wrong. It's a sin to do that. And that's what we need to do. Lord, my last song for you this morning, folks, I thank you for coming out and listening. "Oh, How I Love Jesus," something we should all be singing every single day. We don't have long, folks. Here's the song. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. William Preacher Bill Barnes, thank you for being here, and God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Okay.